Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
All right, we are going to continue in our Sermon on the Mount series, Built for Rain. We have two more weeks before we will have covered this entire series, this entire message that Jesus preached. If you want to follow along in your Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 33 today. Matthew 6, starting in verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Do you know that over the last 20 years, there has been a sharp increase, a sharp upward turn in the number of people dealing with worry and anxiety-related disorders? That globally, it's estimated that around 4% of the population deal with some kind of anxiety-related disorder. And the gospel is true because the gospel is true everywhere, and that the declarations of Jesus work in every place that we apply them. But there are times and there are places where the words of Jesus become more relevant, or portions of the gospel become more applicable because of what's happening in that space and in that moment. Because while the global population deals with anxiety disorders at somewhere around 4%, the U.S. population, it's estimated that in any given year, around 19% of the population is dealing with anxiety disorders. And that across the span of a lifetime, nearly 31% of Americans will face some kind of anxiety disorder. Our worries are spiraling us out of control. Our worries are overcoming us and consuming us. Our worries are eating away at the days and the hours and the minutes that we have. The words that Jesus has as he turns the corner towards the end half of his Sermon on the Mount are critical for us to grasp today. That he has a message for us about worry, because worry will eat away your today. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 27, "Can any of you add one moment to the span of his life by worrying?" Do you add anything to your life by worrying? That term span, it has to do with the days and the hours and the minutes of your life, but it also has to do with the height and the breadth of your life. Are you adding anything to the days that you have by worrying? Are you adding anything to the moments that you have by worrying? Is there any increase to the goodness of your life? Is there any increase to the enjoyment of your life by worrying? It's an interesting thing about the paradox of worrying, because those who worry most are often those who have a high level of care about the quality of the days that they have. They're worried about, will tomorrow be a good day? And so they worry today about what tomorrow is. And they're concerned about what's going to happen down the line. And so they worry today about what's going to happen 3 years from now, not because they don't care, but because they care so much about the longevity of their days and the quality of their days and the fullness of their days and the impact of their days. And in their desire to have days that are long and meaningful, they in reverse have days that are heavy and laden and decreasing by the minute. Because while Jesus challenges us, can we even add a day to our life by worrying, we know that the exact opposite is actually true. That it's estimated that you remove somewhere between 3 to 7 years of your life from your days by worrying. By the impact that it has on your body and the impact that it has on your habits and the impact it has on your relationship, that worrying is a thief. It comes and it steals from us. It comes and it takes from us. It comes and it begins to eat our tomorrow in the midst of our today. It is critical that we grasp Jesus' words if we are going to live in a life and life more abundantly. If we are going to stand on a solid rock foundation that says, come what may, what I know is that I was built to last, that I was built for rain. I don't worry about tomorrow because of what I've built my life on. We have to quit with the worry, with the anxiousness. There's an old Bob Newhart skit. Bob Newhart is a comedian if you're like under 30. And he has this old skit that he did on TV where he plays a psychologist in the skit. And in the skit, a young woman comes into his office and she begins to share with him her great concern. Her concern is that she has an unwarranted fear that she will be buried in a box. And this is adding restraint and constriction to her life. And she pours out her concern and she pours out her worry. And he leans back in his chair and he straightens out his notepad. And he tells her, very good, I want you to get ready. I want you to get prepared because I have a foolproof plan for overcoming concerns and worries and phobias like this. Are you prepared for my instructions? And then he carefully leans forward and he yells right in the woman's face, stop it! Just stop it! When you have this thought, stop it! When you have this fear, stop it! And of course, this is the punchline of the joke, because if the woman could just stop it, why would she pay money to come into this person's office? But doesn't it feel that way sometimes for us, where we go, I have these worries and I have these concerns and I just want to stop it. I just want to lay them down and I just want to put them down. And we try to apply 2 Corinthians to it and we go, I'm going to take every thought captive and I'm going to make it obedient to the word of Jesus. I'm going to make it obedient to Christ, which is how we are to handle it. But the good thing about Jesus is that he is not Bob Newhart in a comedic skit. He does not just lean over the table at you and tell you to stop it. He lays out a pathway for how to move forward. He says, I need you to get a new way of thinking. I have a pathway for you out of your worry, out of your anxiety. And it starts like this. I need you to turn outward and upward. I need for you to take your life and instead of turning inward and downward, turn it outward and upward. Matthew 6 and 19, he says, don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What he is saying when he lays out this portion to them is that it is part of the human propensity to begin to look inward, to think about myself, to think about my needs, to think about everything that I can store up for myself, and to make sure that my barns are full, and to make sure that my closet is full, and I think about my own pantries, and I think about all of my stuff. But the problem with thinking thinking about all of the things that we have together. And the problem with concerning ourselves with all of the things that we want to grow and to increase, here where moth and rust can destroy them, is that the more you have, the more you have to concern yourself with. I used to just be worried about my rent. Now I'm worried about my mortgage and my car payment and my business, and I'm worried about my properties, and I'm worried about my kids, and I'm worried about my relationships. The more things that we add, the more things that begin to preoccupy our minds, the more things we have to lose, and the more things we have to be concerned about. And when we think that those things come from our own hand, and we think that those things come from our own working, then we begin to concern ourselves with the things of this moment and of this day. And Jesus says, how about you worry about yourself less? And what I want you to do instead is to give outward from yourself. I want you to turn your life, instead of focusing on you, I want you to turn it to others. I want you to turn your life outward and think, how can I give to someone else today? How can I serve someone else today? How can what God has placed in my hand be a blessing to someone else? I want to look at the situation that someone else is in, and I want to be moved by compassion, because my life is not focused on myself, and my life is not focused on my own needs. My life is focused on others. And Jesus says, when you begin to turn your life outward in this way, instead of storing up treasures here on earth that someday will fade away, that cannot go with you beyond the grave, instead of that, you store up for yourself an eternal treasure. You store up for yourself the kind of kingdom treasure that can never be eaten away by the moth, and that can never be decayed by rust, that can't be swept away by an economic turn, because you have stored them up in a place that is outside of time and space. You have stored them up in a place where God has guard over them and watches them. It's an interesting thing that he says, the thing that is leading you on your path to worry is that so much of your life is thinking about you, and is thinking about your own needs, and is thinking about what is here on earth and is temporal. And what I'm trying to walk you into is a life that turns outward, that thinks about others and thinks about your community and thinks about the people around you. And this kind of life begins to have an eternal focus on where is it that I'm going. And it's interesting, because psychologists and biologists agree with Jesus that when we turn our lives out from ourselves, instead of being inwardly focused, we begin to be outwardly focused, and we notice the plight of those around us, and we notice the joy of those around us, and we notice the spaces that we can step into and begin to help in. It is the very thing that begins to strip away the worry and anxiety from our lives, because we have less of us to be concerned about and more of someone else to begin to pour into. He tells them part of the pathway out of worry is for you to turn outward and upward. And then he tells them, I need you to get a healthy perspective. Matthew 6:22 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? Jesus is telling them, I need you to get a perspective that has a healthy view. I need your eyes to be opened to what's going on around you. I need your perspective to be shifted, not from the death and decay, but I need your perspective to be shifted to the goodness and the light. I need you to begin to look out and not see all that is terrible and all that is scary. I need you to look out and search for the good things that are happening. I need you to look out and see all of the wonderful ways that life is moving forward. For so many of us, this means that we need to get a stronger discipline and a stronger constraint on the things that we put in front of us, on the things that we allow ourselves to read through and to listen to and to view in any place. We go into life and all we've been listening to is news that we know promotes fear and destruction because it baits us back into coming to watch it time and time again. And we feed ourselves that diet. We fill our eyes with the darkness of tragedy here and tragedy there and this group disagreeing and this group disagreeing. And then we leave that and we wonder why our minds go to everything is going wrong in the world and nothing is ever going to be right again. And my life is spiraling out of control and everything is destruction. And I don't know why I'd have kids anyway when the world is heading in such negative and awful places. But you have been looking at everything that is going wrong instead of looking with a healthy eye at all that is going right. At the ways that we are conquering diseases that we never thought we could overcome. At the ways that communities are rallying together in fresh ways. At the amount of information that is available to us. At the amount of interconnectedness that is available to us. There is plenty of goodness and of beauty that is going on right there in the midst of what's happening. But our eyes have been filled with darkness and it leads us into a path of worry and anxiety when we could fill our eyes with light that would lead us into a path of trust and security in Him. He says you have to get a healthy perspective. And He tells them that you have to choose your master. Matthew 6:24 says that no one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't run after two masters at the same time and think that your heart will be equally committed to them and think that your life will be equally committed to them and think that your steps will be ordered and balanced and steady and secure. It leads to a life of chaos and confusion, and it leads to a life of disconnection from what God is taking you into when you are trying to run after two masters. Phil and I, we have these dogs. God help us. We have three kids and we decided to get two dogs as well. And one time there were some people over and the dogs were like, you know, jetting around. And we decided that with this particular crowd, it was going to be better to put the dogs away. And so what happened was I was on one side of where the dogs were and I start barking out commands, telling the dogs, go to your place, go to your place, go to your place. But Phil is on the other side of where the dogs are, and he had decided the best option was to put them into the garage. So he's on the other side going, come, 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 come. And we are yelling opposing instructions at our dogs, which means that our poor dogs are just like running back and forth in utter confusion. And what was already a slightly inconvenient situation has now escalated into an outrageously confusing situation because the dogs don't know who they're supposed to be listening to because they have two masters that are shouting opposing instructions at them. Many of us live our lives this way. We say that God is the master of my life. Lord, I want to be in your presence. Lord, I want to follow your ways. But we also serve our master of money. We also serve the master of our finances and our resources. And at some stage and at some point, because these two things are at equal power in our lives because of the way that we have positioned them and we have placed them, they begin yelling opposing instructions at each other. God is saying, trust in me. Be generous with your finances. Don't worry about tomorrow. And your money is saying to you, trust in me. Store up all you can for you and yours. Have you looked at the economy lately? You probably should be concerned about where this thing is going. And there you are in the middle, running back and forth, trying to find your way somewhere in between. And it's chaos and it's confusion. And it creates an unsteady ground underneath you. And so instead of saying, I'm built for what I'm standing on, I'm built to overcome the rain, we begin to sway in the midst of it because you cannot serve two masters. Jesus says, I'm paving a pathway out of this for you. And if you're going to walk the pathway out of this, you must decide who is going to be your master. When you serve God, you can stand on a sure foundation. You can stand steady, trusting in him. And as he paves the pathway out for them, once he's given them perspective, once he's given them a view for health, once he's given them a new pathway of living that isn't consumed with me and isn't consumed with everything that I need, then he says to them in Matthew 6, 25, therefore, because of everything I've just told you, therefore, I tell you, stop it. Don't worry. Don't worry about your life. He doesn't jump in telling them, don't worry about it. He gives them a pathway out of worry and then says, therefore, now that you have the pathway, now that you have the instructions, I tell you, don't worry about your life. About what you will eat or what you will drink, about your body or what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about your clothes? Observe how the wild flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin or thread. Yet, I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear, for the Gentiles or the unbelievers eagerly seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus walks us on a pathway out of our worry and out of our anxiety. And then he tells them, I have a new perspective for you. See, if worry is mediating, is meditating and rudimenting on all of the difficulty and all of the destruction and all of the concerns of life, the things that may or may not happen in my tomorrow, Jesus says, what you need to do is you need to find a new thing to meditate on. You need to find a new thing to be filling your mind with. You're sitting around every day worrying about, will I ever possibly have enough for tomorrow? And how am I going to clothe these kids for back to school? And what is it that I'm going to eat tomorrow? And will I have enough when I retire? And am I working hard enough? And is this house big enough? And are these shoes going to make it one more round? Jesus says, that's what you're filling your mind with. You're filling your mind with worries and concerns and all of the heaviness and all of the difficulty. One of the definitions of worry, it says to give way to anxiety, to make space for anxiety in your life. And Jesus says you're doing it by meditating on all of the troubles and all of the possible negative outcomes of your life. And he says, instead of meditating on that, what if instead we meditate on something new. Consider the flowers in the field. Meditate on the beauty of the flowers that are sitting in the field. They are clothed in something wonderful, and they are clothed in something beautiful, and they are taken care of without their own effort and without their own striving. He tells them, think about the birds that fly in the sky. Do they look concerned where their meal is coming for tomorrow? Do they look like they're worried about what's going on? Do they look like they're anxious about whether or not a worm's going to show up for them tomorrow? No, because God takes care of them. Instead of meditating on all of these things, instead of meditating on the pain and the hurt and the possible outcomes, meditate on his goodness. Meditate on his faithfulness. Meditate on the ways he's always shown up. Meditate on all of creation and how it's already been cared for. He walks them through and he tells them three things. He tells them, think about your worth. He says, there's birds in the air and there's flowers in the fields and there's grass by the wayside. Aren't you worth more than they are? Have you thought about what you're worth to God? Have you considered what your value to him is? That you are the treasure that he's looking for. That you are the treasure that he bought the whole field for. You're worth more to him than birds in the air and flowers in the field, and yet even they are taken care of. When your mind wants to worry about tomorrow, remember what you're worth to him. And it says that your Father in heaven knows. He already knows what you need. He already understands the troubles that you're facing. He already understands the uncertainty of this season. He already knows that you don't know what's going on with the job. And he already knows that you have to figure out what to do with this child. And he already knows that you're not sure how you're going to pay for next week's things. He already knows all that you need. So what does it add to your life to worry about it? Find peace, find rest in the fact that you are worth more than the flowers of the field to him, and that he already knows everything that you need. And then seek after him. Seek after his kingdom and its righteousness, and all that you need will be provided for you. Not because you went around running after shoes, and not because you went around running after next things, and not because you went around running proving your hustle, because you said, I have determined to seek first the kingdom. I have determined to seek after him and his righteousness. This is what I don't want you to miss. Jesus never says that God doesn't care about those things. He never says that what you're going to eat is of no importance. He never says that what we wear doesn't matter to him at all. What he says is, why are you consumed with worry for those things? Why are you consumed? In fact, I think the implied message is that he knows that it matters. He knows that you care about it. He knows that it's important what it is that we have. It's just that it's not as important as seeking him first. Because when we seek him first, when we seek his kingdom, when we seek treasures in heaven, it says then all of these things take care of themselves. All of these things come into place. All of these things begin to come back into alignment when we seek first the kingdom. You're not going to add any of it. You're not going to add a day to your life. You're not going to add a moment. But if you meditate on who he is, meditate on what you're worth to him. Meditate on his faithfulness. Meditate on his goodness. Meditate that he already knows that you are God outside of time. You're already in my tomorrow, and you've already taken care of what's stressing me today. So why do I be consumed by it? Why do I hold on to it? Why do I wrap my brain around it? Why do I let heaviness overcome me? Why do I let stress wrap around me when you already No. Instead, I'm just going to seek your kingdom. I'm going to seek after you. I'm going to walk in your path, God. And I'm walking today out of a path filled with worry and anxiety. I'm not going to give way to that anymore. Instead, I'm giving way to your kingdom. I'm giving way to your plans. I'm giving way to your purpose. I'm giving way to your good hand. I'm giving way to what you have planned for me. I'm giving way, God, to all of your things that you will pour out from the windows of heaven. And I'm saying that I trust in you. That I trust in you. I want to pray for some people today who are going to walk away from living bound by your worry, bound by anxiety. I felt like God gave me three groups specifically. And if one of these is you, I just want you to stand where you are. The first is that you are consumed with the worry of other people's opinions. Every time you leave a situation, you wonder, what did they think about me? And before you go in, you're concerned about how are they thinking about me and what are they talking about me? It's consuming your life. It's overcoming your mind. This could include all kinds of social anxiety disorders, because social anxiety at the root of it is an overamplification of other people's opinions about me that I ruminate on in that place to such a degree that it binds me and that it holds me. And we are breaking the thing of other people's opinions, because we are saying, I'm not seeking after their opinion. I'm seeking after you first, God. The next is people who are consumed with worry for your kids. Kids are going back to school. Kids are living their own lives. Kids are out, and you're consumed with how can I care for them and how can I take care of them and what's happening when they're not under my hand, or how are they making these grown-up decisions now, and what is it that I do, and did I do enough, and can I do enough, and will I do enough? And God says that he knows. Seek first his kingdom. The last is that you're worried about your finances. You're worried about your resources. You're worried about, is your job going to turn out? You're worried about, do we have enough? You're worried about, can I retire? You're worried about transitioning into retirement. Your resources and your finances. If any one of those is you, and you know that worry and anxiety is overcoming you in that area, I just want you to stand to your feet. We're going to pray over you. And then we're going to worship. And this song is going to be your new meditation. That the thing that you ruminate on is not going to be your worries and your concerns. When those thoughts come back to you, therefore I tell you, don't worry. Consider. Consider the flowers of the field and the birds of the air. Consider that he knows you. Consider that you're worth more than them. Spirit, you're moving in this place right now. Thank you, Jesus. If someone near you is standing, would you just reach over and put a hand on their shoulder and their elbow? Thank you, Jesus. To seek first the kingdom and all of its righteousness. We've determined to seek your face first. I speak over these, your people, that their hearts and their minds are steady in you. I speak over your people right now that every worry, every anxiety is being broken off of their life. God, we break agreement with the power of worry in their life. We break agreement with the power of anxiety in their life, God. We speak over them that we're not making way for it anymore, but we're closing the door to it through the power of your name, God. We speak that those pathways are closed, that those channels are closed, and what's filling their life instead is the knowledge of your goodness. What's filling their life instead is the knowledge of your power. I speak over them that their thoughts are filled with your thoughts, God, that whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is worthwhile, whatever is lovely, that these are the thoughts that fill their hearts and their minds. I declare over them a fresh revelation of their worth and their value in you. I declare over them a fresh understanding for who it is that you have called them to be. I declare over them that they would feel your heart towards them, that your loving kindness would be poured out over them in fresh ways, Father God, that they would feel the drawing of who you have called them to be, that you are more valuable than the birds of the air. You are more valuable than the flowers of the field, yet even they are taken care of. So watch and see how God takes care of you. Watch and see how he handles your situation. Watch and see his goodness over your life. I speak over you right now that there are fresh over waves of his love and his grace and his mercy. A fresh revelation of your worth and your value in him is pouring out over your life right now. I declare that there is a steadiness that he knows. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. I speak over you that every worry and doubt is falling right now because trust is coming in its place. A steady trust and a steady faithfulness in God is holding you right where you are. As we seek first the kingdom of heaven and all of his righteousness, as we seek first the kingdom of God, I speak over you right now that worries are falling away. Worries are falling away. Let them melt away right now. I thank you for trust in him. I thank you that his peace that passes understanding is coming in its place. I thank you that he's pouring out his goodness. Thank you for what you're doing.